T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talking football now, Jason LaCanfora of CBS. He's a little stressed out by his Orioles. Jason, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You stressed out by the Orioles?
Well, based on Twitter, you are not a fan of Ubaldo Jimenez. You think he's terrible.
I don't know who could be a fan of Ubaldo. I mean, he's got fans still out there. I'd love to meet him.
Mr. and Mrs. Ubaldo Jimenez.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Now, you cover football. To me, football is the number one sport there is. There's nothing even close. That's me, okay? All right? I mean, it's been the best for my whole lifetime. But I get the impression, because I know a number of guys that cover football, and it seems like the guys that cover football are all baseball fans of are big baseball fans who really don't care that much about football. Would you consider yourself that?
Well, I'm not a football fan because I don't root for any particular team. You know what I mean? Like, I when it's your job, it's different than your escape. So my kids have never been to an NFL game. I'm gone 30 weekends a year. My kids have never been to a preseason game. My oldest is 12. Like,
okay.
My mom,
kids into football?
You know what I mean? Like, they're running around on the weekends. Like, she's not
Are your kids into football? Are your kids into football?
Not. I mean, they play Madden a little bit, but not. I mean, they know who Joe Flacco is.
They
couldn't name 10 Ravens, but I get to go to games with them in the spring when I get my life back.
Right.
So baseball is a big part of what we do together.
Here's why I bring this up, and I don't want to mention the guy's name, but I used to work with a guy who was a football handicapper, okay? And this guy, and he turned me off when he told me this, and this made me delirious. Here's this guy that's handicapping these games, and he's trying to tell me what's going on in the NFL. And I said, boy, I'll tell you, now on Sunday, what do? You just sit there and you got your TVs, you're watching every game. Oh, I don't watch games on Sunday.
Huh? Really?
I said, wait a minute. I said, excuse me?
What?
Wait, hold on. And when this guy told me that, I went delirious. Because here I am. To me, there's nothing bad. I'm watching football wall to wall. I'm a Jet fan, and it's silly me. But I'm watching football wall to wall all day on Sunday. And here's this guy that's supposed to be telling me something that I don't know about football, and he's not even watching the games on Sunday. He takes it off.
No,
I had a big problem with that.
I don't try to handicap games. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they make us pick them a little bit on the internet or whatever. I mean,
right.
That's not my thing.
Right.
But, no, I love football. I think to do this job well, you have to love football.
I just want to know.
Don't love it in the same way. Like, I don't have a I'm watching all the games in a studio with the guys I work with.
Right.
Like, you're watching it for injuries. You're watching it for news.
I understand why you watch it.
It's very different than having a couple beers with your buddies and watching a team. You know what I mean? That you root for and is sort of like,
I
can still be a fan when it comes to baseball and soccer. Football, it's my life. It's my livelihood. But I don't have that same rooting interest.
Was there ever a time where you were like a diehard fan of a team?
Yeah.
And then it changed because, like you said, hey, it's your job. You're looking at the games a little differently.
Yeah, it definitely changes. I'm born and raised in Baltimore, so I was raised a Colts fan.
Right,
and then the
Colts
left when I was, 9 years old.
Right.
And then I became a Chargers fan. And I had already started liking the Chargers because the early 80s and Eric Coryell was a lot of fun.
I thought maybe because Unitas ended his career.
Well, that was 74. That was the year I was born.
I was looking for a correlation.
I know that he passed the baton to Fouts, and I loved Fouts and Winslow.
Joyner,
Bobby Duckworth. Chuck Muncy.
Don't forget him.
And then
Gary
Big Hands
Johnson. Remember him?
Yeah.
Billy Ray Smith
Louis
Jr.
Kelcher, yeah.
Louis Kelcher. Yes, exactly.
So I was a Chargers fan, and then when I was covering hockey in Detroit, we stole the Cleveland Browns. You know, Baltimore stole the Cleveland Browns, and I didn't really think much of it, and I was conflicted, and I wouldn't consider myself a Ravens fan. And then I moved back to the Baltimore area when I was covering the Capitals for the Washington Post and started going to games as a fan because I was covering hockey and not football, and, you know, I loved it. It was awesome. I was like, wow, I hadn't been to an NFL game since probably 1982.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, when I was really young. So that was awesome. And then by the time I started covering football, it was just a whole different scenario. And, you know, once you start covering a sport, and you're dealing with it professionally, it's just completely different than you know, buying tickets and going to games and buying jerseys and going to, with your friends and your you know,
yeah,
kids,
no,
and
I,
all that.
I understand that.
Let me ask you one more baseball question then, because I'm curious. We spend a lot of time talking about the Yankees. Are you afraid of the New York Yankees as an Oriole fan?
I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid of the Yankees. No, I mean, they're a good team. I think that 20-game run they went on, when all said and done after 162, people will look back on that. From the point where they won that Sunday game against the Orioles, that three-week, they went from almost being swept by the Orioles at Camden Yards, what, in late April, to basically not losing a game for 2.5 weeks. I think that will be the high point. I don't think you buy them.
You don't think they'll
so
win
you
the
think
division?
I don't buy them
as a 700, you know, 750 winning percentage team. No, I don't. I don't. I don't buy that Sanchez is Yogi Berra. I don't buy that Judge is, you know, Mickey Mantle. No, I don't.
All right. There you go.
But I don't buy the Orioles starting pitching right now either.
No,
everybody's
flawed. You shouldn't buy. No, I think that's the thing that gives hope to everybody. It's not a terrible division by any stretch, but it's a flawed division, would be the way I would look at the American League East right now. There's no great team yet in this division.
Yeah, and look, if at some point Boston puts Chris Sale and David Price together and they're both in top form, then they're going to go on one of those runs where they don't lose for 3 weeks, and then you have to see, you know, how the rest of their health holds up and whether they truly get some flow and consistency in their lineup, because it doesn't seem to be there sans David Ortiz.
Now, maybe I'm in the minority. Joe and I have talked about this. I don't think Joe thinks it's a big deal. This annoys me, though, and I want your opinion. The owners have voted to change overtime from 15 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it's going to lead to a lot more ties. Your thoughts on the move?
I don't like it. I think it's unnecessary, but I'm not surprised by it. Because as much as they'll talk about health and safety, and that's always the key buzzword, and I get it, the real sort of you talk to people who work at Park Avenue in the league office, and you go back the last 6 months, and you say, what is Goodell most vigilant about? They would tell you pace of play and quality of game. You know, tempo and quality of these games, and getting them streamlined. And so they're playing around with the commercials, right? They don't want back-to-back commercial breaks anymore off kickoffs. And they're changing the commercial pods, and they want the games to flow better, and they want them to be closer to 3 hours than 3 hours and 15 minutes or whatever. So I think it has a whole lot more to do with that, really, than anything else. And just one more way to try to condense these as a viewing and or in-game watching experience. They don't want people to have to spend 8 hours to go to a football game. You know, you got to get there 2 or 3 hours early at some of these stadiums because there's no infrastructure. And then the games take 4 hours, and then it takes you 2 hours to get off the parking lot at the end of the night. They know that, you know, that's not feasible for a lot of people. So I think it has more to do with those initiatives. And certainly if it curtails some injuries along the way, then so be it.
You know, to me, if they want to streamline the game more, then you know what? Then they should cut down on the amount of officials on the field, because these games can get over-officiated. And we get games that turn out to be flag fests. And to me, that certainly lengthens the game. And I hate the officials. I hate officials. I hate them. I hate them. I hate every one of them, everyone that's ever lived, okay? These games are so freaking over-officiated. It's a joke.
Wow.
And to me,
hate's a strong word.
Well, I hate him. I hate every official. I'm so happy Blandino's out. God, get him out. I mean, who needs him? You know, seriously, I mean, I have venom towards officiating.
Maybe one day they'll
football.
Have computers. Maybe it'll all be computer generated.
Well,
we have cars that'll drive themselves and games that will officiate.
But do you agree
themselves.
With this? I mean, when you start watching
official,
a game,
any official whoever lived.
Well,
no,
I hate them all.
Agree to that
I hate them all. I would never like Gene Steratore. Please go away. but seriously, don't you feel that if these games, if they were some of these games turn into flag fest, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's more or less officials. I mean, the teams keep pushing for initiatives to be able to have more stuff reviewable for replay every year, right? I mean, so that's where that, I mean, so you can have fewer officials, but more stuff becomes reviewable, and so you're going under the tent, even with streamlined, centralized.
But I'm just talking about penalties in general. Forget, now, you can't review penalties right now. I'm just talking about the penalties in general. I'm not even talking about the review. I'm talking about penalties in general. It gets out of hand sometimes. Don't you think so?
Well, I think then. I don't blame the officials, though. I'm blaming the league. Where,
but don't
oh,
you
now,
think that there's that, certain things that should be like reevaluated, like on a kickoff where there's basically a penalty every time.
But that's
time.
The league more than it is
well,
the individual officials.
No, that's what I'm getting to. I'm getting to the league.
It's the league who comes out with these initiatives like, exactly. Well, this year we're cracking down on celebrations.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Isn't it time to change that?
Look, I don't agree with a lot of what they do, but I have zero say in it. Neither do the officials. It's the owners and what they're willing to approve and what they're not willing to vote through.
I don't care.
The competition committee comes out with a certain agenda.
It's too much.
I agree with you, but I've never seen anybody cutting back the rule
book.
They're always expanding it.
They should. If I was the NFL commissioner, first thing I'd do would be cutting back on what. First of all, you would never have the amount of penalties you have on kickoffs and punt returns. I would change the illegal block in the back on kick and punt returns. It's a different type of situation and a play from scrimmage. And it drives me crazy.
Well, you know how they could cut down on it? They would eliminate it entirely.
That's what they
want to
do.
Be a joke.
Well,
they
want to
eliminate
that
the play.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you block a guy in the back on a kickoff, so be it. Let's live with it. Right or wrong? I'm serious.
I mean, look, I think there's a lot of problems. I mean, I don't know that that would be the first thing. First thing I would do is stop testing for pot. Second thing I would do is lower it from 4 preseason games to a max of 3 and probably 2. Third thing I'd do is put in a spring league so you can actually develop offensive linemen and quarterback and they get some reps.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, officiating is an issue and things are over officiated, but I think that would be somewhere in my list of top 10 things to do, but I don't know that I would start there.
I'm just saying.
I think a minor league would be good for the NFL to help develop young players. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people are going to watch it, but I think that's irrelevant.
Well,
I think
not
it's
everything.
Didn't they try that with NFL Europe?
Well, they did, and you got Kurt Warner and Jake DeLome.
Okay.
I mean, about 5 or 6 really good kickers, right? I mean, wasn't Akers or Vinatieri? I think at least one of those two was in that league. I mean,
it would benefit the Jets to have Christian Hackenberg playing somewhere instead of sitting on his derriere, don't you think?
Absolutely. So now there's the risk of injury and everything else.
Well, look, there's a risk of injury walking down the block.
Right.
I mean, anything can happen.
There's always the risk of injury.
Jason Lockenfor, we're talking football with him. One good thing, I think you'll agree with this, Joe, is the fact that the NFL is going to basically start to do away with penalties for celebrating. I mean, they're moving in the right direction.
The fact that they even had them is a joke.
Right. No, I would agree with you guys there, but it's like you look at these pendulum swings. I mean, 2 springs ago was all about sportsmanship and taunting and anything you do after a play, if it's remotely conceived as being perceived as being something that's taunting, even if you throw the ball back to the official the wrong way, they couldn't wait to stop play and throw 15 yards at you, you know?
Yeah.
So to go from that to now loosening it up, I'm glad. I'm all for it. Anything that's a little less than no fun league and lets it be a little more organic and let it breathe. Now, I would put a clock on this stuff. I don't want, you know, organized chaos and 2 minutes of guys doing, you know, breakdancing routine in there when they should be kicking off the ball already. And trust me, I don't think the league will stand for that, given what I said about pace of play and where Goodell's head is on that. I think everything with limitations, but a little bit of free-flowing jubilance, I mean, I'm all for it. It's a super physical game. It's a highly emotional game. There's a reason most of the, you know, most people out there would never think of doing that for a living because you're literally putting your neck on the line. So, yeah, let them have a little fun.
Mm. And, all right, now, what's the latest on Kaepernick? I know that there was interest with Seattle.
Is he done?
I mean, has he seriously been blackballed by the league?
I don't think it's purely football that he hasn't been signed. I mean, when you start looking at the guys who've been signed ahead of him,
right.
I don't know that you can argue that this is just a football decision.
Right.
Will he get a job? Yeah, if I'm Colin Kaepernick right now, I'm not in a hurry to sign because there's not going to be any money out there. People have spent what they're going to spend. They're holding his politics against him financially. So I would just wait for somebody to get desperate. I mean, last year, this actually happened. Rick Spielman traded a 1-4 for Sam Bradford. Like, that happened.
We're aware of that.
Cutler's in the booth, and Romo's in the booth,
and Fitzy
just got signed.
Tampa.
So it's like you got RG3 out there, you got Thad Lewis out there, right? You got Charlie the Hare Whitehurst. Like, somebody's losing a quarterback in OTAs or training camp or preseason, and he's going to be the last man standing, and he'll have a little bit of leverage. Now, Seattle did call him, but I'm told it was a highly exploratory phone call. It wasn't super serious. They were kind of floating a trial balloon. And they made it clear that, look, this would not, you know, we're not investing a lot of money in this position. Russell Wilson makes $20 million a year. I don't know that he wants to go to Seattle and never play. You know, Russell Wilson, even when he has a high ankle sprain, he plays the next
He may
week.
Be better off waiting. Yeah. Just waiting for that injury.
I mean, knowing his agents a little bit, I would be shocked if they jumped at anything that came their way now, because these are chump change, buy low deals. And at this point, he needs to go somewhere where, A, he can actually play, which these people are just looking for cheap backups right now. And then, B, have some incentives in there where, you actually can earn some money.
Yeah. Jason, always great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Good luck with the Orioles, Jason.
I'll need it. Thanks. Did they cut Obaldo Jimenez yet today?
The Mets would sign him. He'd be the fifth starter.
We're Met fans. Don't worry.
We take him
don't
at this point.
Yeah. He'd be okay in the National League, actually.
Ubaldo for Tommy Malone. Done.
Yeah, done.
I'll take a chance on anybody.
I'm sure you would.
We're in with that move.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Jason Lockin for it. Though the Orioles would have to pick up some money because I think Ubaldo still makes money.
Does he?
I do like the idea of a minor league for football. I think we need to have one. And I wouldn't do it during the spring. I would do it during the fall, like on Friday nights or something like that. Because I think it's going to be a bigger deal down the road than it is now. And I'll give you the reason. I think that we are starting to see less and less kids play football, right, because of the violence. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, I think, eventually cut out tackle football at the lower levels. I think we're headed towards that direction.
Okay.
So I think you're going to have guys, adults, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, who just don't know the game that well. They're learning the game. They learned it at an older age. They didn't learn the proper techniques. And I think by adding another league, you can almost develop players that way.
Right.
And then to go along with the Hackenbergs of the world, how is Christian Hackenberg developing the last couple of years?
I tell you, I hope I am help him? Not. And going back to what you just said, it would help him. I don't know if we're ever going to see that. But I hope I'm not on this earth the day that you can't tackle anybody anymore.
Not at the pro levels. I'm talking
I'm
about.
Done.
But I'm not talking about the pro levels. No, I'm talking about like in high school.
Yeah.
You can't see that happening, bro? Ooh, we're headed there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.